How good. Provision for the vision. I love August. It's our once a month opportunity to rally around the vision that God has given us. And can I tell you, church, what you are a part of is something special. 6 years, 600 people in 6 years. Pastor Nikki and Jack and I go through the database very regularly, and we were looking at it this week, going through, okay, who hasn't been around, who do we need to follow up, what's going on here, what's going on there. 617 people, 600 people in 6 years, and can I tell you, this is just the beginning. Come on, we can celebrate that. Let's lift up and give him a, come on, a clap. Lord, we love you and we thank you for what you're doing in and through this place. But church, can I tell you that you think about that. I don't even think that the next 6 years, you imagine another 6 years, another 600, like that would be crazy to think about. And that's the God that we serve and that's what we're a part of. But I don't think it's going to be addition. I firmly believe what Pastor Mark is declaring, that we are going to see a season of multiplication. And that's what God can do. You think about all the different stories in Scripture where we see multiplication, the advancement of the kingdom of God. Well, that is what you and I are a part of. You know, you might think that, you know, what could my little part to play, you know, really do? Can I encourage you, a little bit from everyone creates a lot, and it empowers the vision that God has for us. And think about this, for some of you, you would have been with us since the cinema. You would have been there in the cinema and you would have come through this journey, you know, that God is taking us on with this church and with this family. Some of you actually were a part of Emerge even before that. Some of you have joined maybe this year. Some of you, this might even be your first service ever in Emerge. Well, God bless you and I hope that you enjoy your time here. But can I tell you that at whatever stage you've joined the church, you have come into something that the previous generation had been building. They'd been investing in it. They'd been pouring into it. They'd been expanding it. They'd been raising it up. And now we've received the baton. And now we have to steward that. And we have to invest into it and continue to pour into it and continue to raise it up so that what we give to the next generation is even more than what we have received. And so I want to encourage you as families, with your spouses, if you don't, if you're single in the room, to start to pray and spend the month of August asking God, God, what do you want for me? What do you want me to give in to this? And as a family, as a couple, come around a conversation around giving and ask God to inspire you with your part to play in what God is doing in this place. Because can I tell you that as we see the kingdom of God advance in this place and through this place, lives are going to be saved. Lives are going to be set free, set apart, come on, and set on fire. And that what we've experienced in Jesus is just going to continue to overflow and grow out of this place and impact this region. That's what God has placed us here to be a part of. Amen? Amen. So, God, make us bold, make us generous, and get excited for what God is going to do out of this. We've also got our missions team. They're heading off this afternoon. Pastor Nikki's going to be heading to the airport with the missions team, heading over to the Philippines. And I want us to pray for them for just a moment. So Pastor Nikki, and if you're in the room and you're going, would you just stand up quickly? And also, yep, Kirsty, who else is going? Anyone else? We had a couple of people from the 8:30. Let's pray. And let's, if you can just extend a hand towards them. And let's pray because they are an extension of us going over to the Philippines. And so Heavenly Father, we pray right now, Lord, that your hand of protection would be upon them. Lord, that you would protect their bodies. Lord, that no sickness would come against them. And Lord, we are asking, Lord, for amazing God encounters in every conversation. Lord, in every service. God, in the medical outreach, the feeding programs. Lord, the church services, the evangelism. God, I pray that they would see a revival take place in those conversations. Lord, wherever they go, wherever they touch, God, I pray that you would powerfully move in them and through them in Jesus' name. God, we pray for testimonies of your goodness. Lord, that you would be glorified. The people that have never met you before, God, that they would meet you, that they would see that you love them, that you're for them. And God, that we would see souls being saved and Lord, people just encountering you in a special way. So Heavenly Father, we lift them up to you. Holy Spirit, go before them, go with them and overflow out of them. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's keep praying for them. They're heading off today. They're going to be over there for a week and a half. And let's just believe that God's going to do something special with our team over in the Philippines. Well, today I've entitled my message, Come Boldly. Come Boldly. Church, we need to encounter Jesus every day of the week and every day of the year. Heavenly Father, it is my prayer today that we would encounter you afresh. Lord, that you would come upon us and move in us and through us, Heavenly Father, even that, Lord, we would experience your tangible presence, Lord, envelop this place with your love. God, that we would not walk out of this place without a touch of heaven. God, I pray that we'd be uplifted today, that we'd be encouraged. God, have your way. Do whatever you want to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Church, can I encourage you? You know, we've done some praise and worship. We have had some announcements. You've done your 90 seconds of friendliness. And we're about to enjoy the word of God. And this is my encouragement to you. Don't let today just be another day. Don't let this just be another message. Don't let this just be another moment for you. No, you are in church. You are in the room. Come on, you right now, you've done already an awesome thing by being here. And so now I encourage you to open up your hearts, open up your spirits and expect God to speak to you because he can and he wants to personally. God can literally right now, for the rest of while I'm preaching, speak through me, and the Holy Spirit is big enough to talk to every single one of you personally in a way that's going to impact you, in a way that you're going to understand, in a way that you're going to get something out of it. And so I want you to expect that over this next moment. Expect God to do something in you today and desire it, want it. You know, I shared a testimony from Morayfield today, and I want to share it with you guys as well. Last Sunday, one of the guys from 8:30, Lloyd is his name, comes out the front and asks for prayer for healing. And calls me up during the week, and I was in an appointment at that time, and he leaves this message for me, and I listened to it after the appointment. He goes, Joe, all good. I just wanted you to know that I came out for prayer on Sunday morning, and God instantaneously healed me of an eardrum infection and hearing loss. And he's telling me this morning that even until Tuesday, he's still going, I couldn't believe it. He's like, it was so surreal. He's like, I'm completely healed. And he was like, this is amazing. Come on, can we just celebrate God for that? Because God is doing something awesome in our lives. And church, can I encourage you? I tell you these testimonies because there are those of us in the room that need to hear them. And we need our faith to be increased and our faith to be encouraged. And so can I encourage you, if you haven't had a testimony yet come through for something that you need, can I encourage you, come on, here's the answer. There's no alternative. Dig in, keep praying, keep asking. Ask again because God is for you. He does love you. He does want to do something for you. He wants to encounter you. And that's what we're going to preach about today. So we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 4. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn. Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 14 to 16, it's going to be on the screen there for you as well. And the writer says this, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. You know, I sometimes struggle to encounter God. Sometimes I avoid the encounter of God because I know I really need it. And I sometimes avoid talking to God or getting into his presence because I know that there's stuff that's going to be dealt with. But can I tell you, it is always good. It is always good when we have an encounter with Jesus. You think about this. Sundays, we can encounter God, but it's only 52 chances out of 365 And that's if we come every week. And then you break that down. You think out of the 52 chances in the year, we've got an hour and a half service together out of 24 hours in a day, 168 hours in a week. If we hold off to encounter him only when we are in the gathering, we're going to be missing out on so much of what God has for us. We can have them daily. You know, Jesus is the best thing for us. And I want to encourage you to desire it, to get after it, to enjoy encountering Jesus, to want more of it, to want it every day, to want to meet with him and spend time with him and to do everything that God has called you to do. Let me encourage you with this. You are not a mistake. You are meant to be here. You are designed uniquely. You were born out of the, from what I understand, 300,000-ish possibilities. God chose you. You were born. When you were meant to be born, God has destined you for this time, for this season. You are meant to be in this world right now with the people around you. And God wants to do something powerful with that in you and through you. And so desire him. Desire more of God. And can I encourage you, the little moments where you might have had an amazing encounter or the moments where you've started to feel him again, can I encourage you to get after it? To go deeper, to want more of God, to go longer and longer in that time as well. You think about this, from the Garden of Eden to Gethsemane to Revelation, from the beginning of the Bible through the most important moment with the cross all the way through to Revelation, God is chasing humanity. He wants relationship with us. In the Garden of Eden, Jesus, our Creator, God would come down in the cool evening breezes and spend time hanging out with his creation, with Adam and Eve. And he looked forward to it. He enjoyed it. And then we see, fast forward into the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is crying out, "Is there another way?" And there was no other way. And that was to reconcile us back into relationship with the Father. What was lost, Jesus came to restore. And check this out, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, even all the way through to the end of the Bible, Jesus says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock, and if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." Church, God is desiring deep, personal, constant relationship with you and I. Friendship. So let's have a look at this. The issue. Well, Genesis chapter 3. Paradise lost and God's judgment. Check this out. Then the man, Adam, named his wife Eve because she would be the mother of all who live. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. And then the Lord God said, "Look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out, take fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever." And so the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. And after sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden, and he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. God did not want us to remain in the issue of separation. He didn't want us to live forever in the state that you and I are having to live in at the moment in our lives, the state of endurance, the state where we put up with all of the hurt and loss and pain and suffering. That is not what God wanted for us. And so what does he do? We'll have a look at this. He comes back for us. He comes to the cross and he opens up access back into relationship with our Heavenly Father. The veil was torn. Have a look at this, Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. "At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Luke 23, 45, "The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle." Church, God literally reached out of heaven and ripped open what was put in place to cause separation between God and man. There was a temple curtain that stopped us from having free access to go in to the Holy of Holies, and only one person was able to do it once a year. And God says, "No more. what I wanted in the beginning, I have now made possible, and the veil was torn. And so you and I have free access to come boldly into the throne room, the Holy of Holies of God. Have a look at this. The once for all time sacrifice to give us access. Hebrews 9, verse 7. But only the high priest ever entered the most holy place, and only once a year. And he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. And he did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again like the high priest here on earth who enters the most holy place year after year with the blood of an animal. Next slide. If that had been necessary, Christ would have had to have died again, again, and again ever since the world began. But now, once for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. And just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. Come boldly into the throne of God. You know, sometimes the things that stop us from coming into the throne of God are the things that God has already dealt with, and he would say to us, come boldly. He has done a lot to make it possible for you and I to enjoy constant relationship with our Heavenly Father. And can I encourage you, encounters always change us. You ever think about this in the Old Testament? Moses is sent by God to tell Pharaoh to let his people go so that they could come out. Why? The purpose? To come out of slavery into freedom. But what was it to do? To come out to be able to worship God freely, unrestricted, not in slavery, to come out and to come into the presence of God to worship him. And look at Moses. Let's have a look at Moses. Moses encountered God in such a powerful way that literally he'd talk to God and then he'd come out and the people couldn't handle it. Because God was encountering him so much, the face-to-face relationship, he literally shone with the glory of God that they would make him walk around with a veil. So the dude's walking around with a veil because they couldn't handle the glory of God that was being reflected off of Moses. But let's think about Moses for a second. The guy was meant to be killed when he was a boy. Pharaoh is trying to kill all of the little boys, and Moses gets protected by God and saved, and then he grows up the first 40 years of his life in privilege. He grows up in the palace, but there was a call on his life to be a redeemer, to be a deliverer, and unfortunately he takes it into his own hands and becomes a murderer and then a deserter. Leaves for 40 years, goes out, God shows up and sends him back, and that man is used to do some of the most mighty miracles, the hand of God working through him that the world has possibly ever seen. Spending time with God so closely and so personally, despite all that he did and went through, God chose him. And can I tell you today, church, God chooses you. And God wants to encounter you and to change you. You think about the story in the Gospel of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus just wanted to encounter Jesus by seeing a glimpse of him. And so he climbs the tree and he's looking and he wants to see Jesus. And he's thinking, man, if I could just see Jesus, man, that'd be awesome. And we know the story, but that wasn't enough for Jesus, was it? No, Jesus wanted Zacchaeus to encounter him for real. Like he called him down and dined with him. Like he wanted to see Zacchaeus to feel his presence, to know that he was loved, to dine with him. And look at the change that took place in Zacchaeus' life. The guy, the very thing that he struggled with his whole life, money, becomes something like instantaneous revelation, becomes a philanthropist, gives half of his wealth to the poor, four times as much to anyone that's cheated. And Jesus says, salvation has come to this home today. One encounter with Jesus, one meal, one dinner with Jesus, and his life was changed forever. You think God loves people. All he wants is us. Think about the man on the cross. All he wanted was to be remembered. He's just thinking, man, if I can just be a memory, like I don't deserve anything. Like, I'm done. I'm hanging on the cross. You think about what was going through that guy's life. He's like, I'm going to cease to exist in a moment. Like, there's no more. This guy has no hope. And he goes, Jesus, can you just remember me? Could you just remember me? Maybe there could just be a memory of me in heaven. Well, Jesus didn't want him to just be remembered. Jesus wanted him. And he says, today you will be with me in paradise. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, all that's going on in her mind. Can you imagine, man, I've prayed this prayer so many times. Is God even real? Is he ever going to show up for me? 12 years of a physical issue that would have been so awful. And if you understand the issue that woman was going through, horrific. But for 12 years, constant. And she's now not only got to battle the issues in her mind, man, is it worth pushing through? Is it worth getting to Jesus? What if he doesn't heal me? What if my hopes get up and then they're let down again? And then she's got a massive crowd in front of her, and she's got to decide, well, I've got a battlefield in the mind now. I've got a battlefield in reality. I've got to like push through all these people. And she's had words spoken over her constantly that she is unclean. And she's thinking, man, if I could just touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, I know that something could shift in my life. And so what does she do? She pushes through, she touches the hem of the garment of Jesus, and instantaneously power leaves Jesus and heals that woman's body, something that she has endured for 12 long years. One touch of the hem of the garment of Jesus is more than enough to do an incredible miracle in her life. The disciples encountered Jesus so radically that they were willing to give up it all. Business, homes, friendships, family, relationships. And you know what? Jesus radicalized them so much by encountering him. He's like, come, follow me. The rest is yours. Come on, it's not just for now too, it's for all eternity. Those guys were radicalized so much that most of them went on to literally give their life for Jesus, no matter the cost. And you know what was driving them? An encounter with Jesus. They had encountered him, and they lived the rest of their life passionately pursuing people, going, you need him. One encounter with Jesus is going to change your life too. It's not even just for us. It's what it's going to do for us. Encounters with Jesus will always be good, and they will always change us. Those guys went on to change the world as we know it. Desperate for people to encounter Jesus. Come on, church, can I encourage you? With Jesus, all things are possible. You think about it. Why would you want to encounter Jesus? Well, answers. Do you need answers? He is the creator. Do you need healing? Come on, he is our healer. Do you need provision? He is our provider. Are you looking for purpose? Come on, he is our purpose. Whatever we need, Jesus is the answer. You got problems? Come on, we serve a miracle working God. You got shortfalls? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And that's not just the cattle. It's the 1,000 hills as well. Impossibilities. Think about this. You have a God that does the impossible. It might be impossible for you, but it's not impossible for God. One encounter with Jesus, maybe an encounter at the end of this service, could literally change your life forever. And I would encourage you to desire the encounter, to get desperate for an encounter, and to seek it, to look for it, church, to get after it. So, what stops us? Well, let's have a think about our crowds for a minute. The need to push through. You see, you might have tried everything. You might have even tried everything that you've been told to try, and it hasn't worked yet. You might have paid for it all, seen it all, done it all, and still nothing is working to see you come through. Can I encourage you, the one who made you, he is the one who loves you the most. He knows what you're going through. He is able to handle your heart the best. He knows exactly what you need. Jesus is the one that it is worth pushing through for. And if you've asked, can I implore you again today to ask again? And don't stop asking. Ask and keep on asking. And the word is truth. It's not a lie. It says, and you will receive. And so today, ask again. And we're going to do that later on. Maybe it's time. Well, can I encourage you? He made the time. You think about it, you don't have time to not encounter him. Maybe the flesh blocks you from encountering Jesus. Maybe it's comfort or laziness or self-serving attitudes. These things will always block you from encountering God. Come on, what did Jesus say? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Maybe distractions. Have you ever prayed and then like 5,000 important things pop into your head? Happens to me. And I've tried to combat it in so many different ways. Like you start praying, you set aside this time to pray to God, and then like all these important things start coming into your mind. It's like, oh my, I've got to do that, I've got to do this. And they're like really important things. It's like, oh man, I've got to forgive that person, or I've got to go, oh man, I forgot to book that appointment in, and man, I've got to call this person up, and oh no, what about this? And you know, I remember praying one time and I was like, oh man, oh, oh, that person, I haven't seen them, man. If I don't text them right now, they're probably going to leave church. They're probably going to give up on God. And it's like, and this mountain starts to get made out of this molehill. And I'm like, no. You know, one time I was like, okay, the way I'm going to deal with this is I'm going to get a sheet of paper and a pen. And so I'm just going to get it all out of me. I'm just going to, everything that comes at me, all the distractions when I set aside the time to pray, I'm just going to write all down, because then I'll get it all out and I can come back to that sheet of paper after the time of prayer. Can I tell you, I didn't stop writing. I gave up. There's so many things that were coming at me. Sometimes distractions come against us. Can I encourage you? Push through. Be persistent in your prayer and put off those things, because they're all really important and super urgent. And like, if you don't deal with it right then and there, like the world's going to fall apart. Can I tell you, the one you're praying to is the one that can deal with all of those things anyway. And he's got you covered. So discipline yourself. Push those things out and focus in and enjoy that time praying to God. Because the enemy knows how to distract us so well to pull us out of that. What about fear? We get scared of encountering God. Maybe the enemy, and you're thinking, oh man, if I encounter God, all my sins are going to come out. Everyone's going to know everything. No, that's a lie. That's not how God works. God's love covers us. His blood covers us. It always has. It did in the garden. It did in the cross. And it still is today. Or maybe it's the enemy. Maybe the enemy's lying to you and you're scared of the enemy. Can I encourage you that your God is bigger than the enemy? Maybe it's even a fear of the encounter itself. You're thinking, man, oh, what if I fall over? Like, what if God does something? I might get embarrassed or something. Can I encourage you? God knows you. And he knows what you wouldn't want. And so if you don't want to fall over, if you don't want to have an encounter with God that ends up with something like that, can I encourage you? You're probably not going to encounter God that way. God will encounter you in a way that you need and a way that you will enjoy. You know, sometimes, yep, the power of God is so big and mighty and our bodies are so weak and frail and they just can't handle the power of God, and sometimes things happen. But can I encourage you, if that ever does happen for you, it was always good and it will be doing a deep work in your life. But falling over is not the goal. Encountering Jesus is. I'm pretty confident that maybe, I remember the service, it was with a guy called David Hogan. I think I have fallen over once in my whole entire life. That's it. Because that's not how I encounter God. But can I tell you, I encounter God in deep, deep ways. Personal ways. Doing deep work within me and deep revelation coming to me. Because that's the God that we serve. The deep cries out to deep. And so don't fear an encounter with God, because it will always uplift you. He will always care for you. He knows what's best for you, and it will always be good, and it will produce something awesome in you. You know, the very thing that gets in our way is the very thing that is being prepared for us as a testimony. The very thing that's blocking us from encountering God is probably the very thing that is literally about to become your testimony. So don't make the issue standing right in front of you bigger than your God is. Come on. Our God is big. He is mighty. He is awesome. He is for us. He is not against us. Come on. He loves us. Jesus is the answer. Think about this. Waves couldn't stop him. Demons couldn't stop him. Come on. The tomb couldn't stop him. Death couldn't stop him. Come on. He conquered it all. Temptation couldn't stop him. The religious leaders couldn't stop him. Betrayal couldn't stop him. Crucifixion couldn't stop him. Come on. Our God is is B-I-G. He is awesome. The sacrificial lamb. It was his plan. You know, it doesn't take man long to need God, does it, to come to our rescue? Chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and we're already in desperate need of our Creator. I did some research for you, church. 1,189 chapters in the Bible. Well, you divide 3 by 1,189, and you get a quarter of 1%. Church, we didn't even make it to 1%. And we needed God to come through for us. We need God to encounter us because it does an amazing work in our lives. From the Garden of Eden, where God cries out, "Where are you? Where are you?" Church, don't hide from having an encounter with God, because what God did for Adam and Eve in that moment, as he covered their shame and nakedness with a sacrifice and he put animal skins over them, Jesus has done for us on the cross, where he has covered us, our shame and our nakedness, and that has been dealt with. Sin was conquered with that once for all time sacrifice. His blood started flowing in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it went to the cross, and it covers us. His blood is for us. His blood does so much. At the cross, the veil was torn, top to bottom. And so I want to encourage you to encounter him. Let me give you some ways to encounter him. Two of my most deepest encounters with God that I have ever had. One was in my lounge room at home. And for hours, God did this incredible work in my life. Deep ministry into my life. I just started praying. It was around midnight and I had some worship on, and I was just crying out to God to do something in my life, to shift something and to help me. And can I tell you, for the next couple of hours that night into the morning, really, just God encountering me in such a personal way, it was awesome. And the second time that I can remember, one of the most deepest encounters with God, was in a car. I was sitting in the driver's seat. I just finished listening to this worship playlist that I'd put on of these songs that I so enjoyed at that time, and I was in a car park parked under this awning, and the presence of God just came over me, and I just started to weep and cry before the Lord, and there was this incredible ministering of God into my life. No one else, just me and God. The three ways that I encounter God the most for myself is in worship, or in prayer, or in communion. And that's how I encounter him. But you can meet him anywhere. Anytime, anywhere, reach out and engage with Jesus. Come on, you could be in the middle of a restaurant and you could just start to pray, just start to talk to God, even though you might not even be talking out loud, you might be talking in your mind, and God will start to speak to you and break your heart for the people around you. You might be in the middle of a work day, and things are just piling up, and the boss is putting things on your plate, and there's expectations rising, and people around you, and it's all going crazy. Just go to the toilet, go to the bathroom, and just talk to him. Just start to cry out. And ask God to help you, and you can encounter God in that place, and the presence of God can come in and come out of you and literally start to shift the atmosphere around you. When you're all alone, when no one is watching, come on, when the temptation seems too big to conquer, giving in seems to be the only way out, come on, just the mention of his name, and instantaneously Jesus can be encountering you in that moment. Come on, your God is omnipresent. He's able to minister every single one of us all at the exact same time. Your help in time of need. Come on, even if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he is there. Come on, our God, as we come in under the wings and the shadow of our God Almighty, there we will find rest. So, let me give you my top five to encounter Jesus. Number one, the gathering. Make church a non-negotiable. Come on, especially as that day draws ever nearer. We need the gathering, because in the gathering, we are able to encounter God in a really special way, in a way where two or three have gathered. And so expect to encounter God in the gathering, but don't just leave it there. The Word, get into it. And let me encourage you, maybe you haven't been to the Word in a little while. Just open it up. put it on the bench right next to the coffee machine, or put it on the dining table in the middle of the dining table and open it up to Proverbs and just start to think, you know what, I'm just going to read one verse. Just start with that. If that's been a struggle for you lately, one verse, one proverb, and can I tell you, it'd be so much anyway, just meditate over it, discuss it with the people in your home, think about it all day long, and I can tell you that you will start to encounter God through the Word and every day. Gathering, the Word. Next is worship. Set up moments of worship. For me, I love just when I get a song that I so enjoy, I add it to a playlist, and then sometimes some like move on because they've been killed under a bus because I've listened to them and sung them so many times I could die a slow, painful death, scream out like a kitten or something. But I add new and fresh so that I enjoy my time in worship with God. You don't need to wait for a Sunday to worship. Come on, if you're a parent and you're in charge of a home, can I encourage you to set up moments of worship in your home so that you can enjoy encountering God? And do it with your spouse. Do it with your family. Because when you start to worship Him, come on, you'll encounter Him. Fourth, prayer. Just talk. Talk to Him. If you need to, write something on the mirror, put something on the fridge, on the front of the fridge, on the back of the toilet door. Let me encourage you, whatever it takes to remind you to talk to God so that you start to encounter Him every day and afresh. And number five, giving. Not just being hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. Come on, a lifestyle of generosity. Because can I tell you, Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. And as you do, and as you put your faith into action, and as you give, you will experience the love of God overflowing in your life into the world around you. The gathering, in the Word, in worship, in prayer, and in giving. These are simple ways that you can encounter your Jesus every day. Come on, can I encourage you? Maybe it is that you need to encounter Him today in a fresh way. You know, I remember praying for this guy and he had fractured his arm and he was having 6 weeks off work. And my older brother and I just laid hands on him and prayed for him, and God instantaneously healed him in that moment. And you know what? I never saw that guy again. Never seen him again. Now, I don't know if he's gone to another church or what, but I can tell you that that guy encountered Jesus in a really powerful way. Come on, God knows what we need. God knows what we need, and it is always good when we encounter Jesus. And so today, would you desire a fresh encounter with Jesus? Come on, would you stand to your feet? Come on, encounter is freedom and deliverance. It's healing and change. It's vision and it's purpose. It is life and life abundant. Come on, don't just desire encounters with God to just have a moment. Because having a moment is great, but if there's a moment with no effect, then that wasn't an encounter worth chasing after. Desire an encounter that changes you. Desire an encounter that you're actually going to see something transform you and flow through you. And that's what our God can do today. And He wants to do it with you. Maybe today you're going to need to push through the crowd. Maybe today you're going to need to do something, to step into a moment where you're telling your flesh to submit and that you would give God a chance. Maybe there's something where you've been praying and you've given up praying. Could you pray again today? Whatever it is, whatever it looks like, can I encourage you? From the Eden, the Garden of Eden, to the cross, to Revelation, and even now to us, church, your God wants to encounter you. He loves you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you need, and He is the answer. He's always been the answer. He's still the answer. He is more than able and willing to do what you need Him to do. So come on, would you close your eyes this morning? Heavenly Father, we need you. We need your presence. Lord, would you envelop this place right now in Jesus' name? Oh, Heavenly Father, come on, church, would you just start to hold your hands out in front of you like you want to receive something heavy today? And would you start to ask him? Come on, lift your voices and start to ask him. You have not because you ask not, and you are allowed to ask. Come on, ask and ask again. Ask for something that you've given up on. Come on, can I challenge you today to pray a crazy prayer right now? To ask God to do something incredible that would literally be a miracle in your life. Come on, something that would glorify God. Something that would bring glory to God. Come on, would you cry out right now for God to do something incredible in you and through you? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. God, we thank you for your presence in this place. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. We need you, Jesus. We can't do what you've asked us to do without you. So, Lord, right now, would you pour out again afresh on this place an outpouring of your presence right now, Holy Spirit, that we would encounter you in Jesus' name. Come on, we're going to worship him right now. And I want you to worship the face of Jesus. Come on, I want you to push you in the battlefield of the mind. And would you push you in this moment? And would you reach out to him? Come on, give him a chance. Come on, we praise him. We praise him. Jesus, we praise you. Lord, you are awesome. God, we say hallelujah. God, you are King. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we exalt you in this place. We exalt you in our hearts. God, we exalt you in our lives. God, we exalt you in our homes. Lord, we exalt you above everything else in Jesus' name. Lord, that you would come and have your way each and every day. Lord, that you would ruin us for the things of this world. God, I pray that we would see right now a season unfolding of testimonies, of breakthrough anointing. Lord, that we are going to see revival break out in our lives in Jesus' name. God, those family members that don't know you, God, we bring them before you right now. And we are asking, God, for salvation in our homes in Jesus' name. Lord, we're calling them out. God, in Jesus' name we pray. Breakthrough over their lives. Freedom over their lives. Holy Spirit, would you soften their hearts? Lord, if they're prodigals, would you remind them? God, would you remind them right now in Jesus' name to come home? That they are welcome. That they are your children. Lord, if it's healing or breakthrough issues in our life, God, we declare right now your freedom over our lives in Jesus' name. Lord, the battlefield's in the mind. God, right now I declare your peace over our minds in Jesus' name. Lord, any demonic stronghold that is trying to exalt itself above you, we rebuke it right now in Jesus' name. Come on, church, just take a moment to plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, we plead your blood, Lord, over our minds, over our bodies, over our homes, over our families, in Jesus' name. Lord, we are asking for breakthrough anointing in Jesus' name. Lord, that we would never be the same. God, ruin us for the things of this world. Lord, that we would desire you and the things of God to overflow in our lives in Jesus' name. God, we are declaring a season of multiplication in this place, but through this place in Jesus' name. God, in our lives and through our lives in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, can we honor him? Can we worship him? Oh, we celebrate you, Lord. You are good. Come on, church, can I invite you to be expectant for what God's going to do? Because there's testimonies coming. Yours is next. Believe for it. Ask again. Come on, do whatever you need to do. If you need to repent, repent. If you need to stir your faith, stir your faith. If you need to put in some spiritual disciplines in your life, put them in. Come on. What God has for you is awesome. He loves you. Come on, you are his children. You know, some of you struggling with your kids right now, can I encourage you that they are not grandchildren of your Heavenly Father, which makes them actually your brothers and sisters. I know that sounds weird, but your kids are your brothers and sisters in the family of God. They've got a dad, and it's our Heavenly Father, and he loves them more than you do. And so give them to Him and pray again and desire those encounters for your family. Come on, if you're a Christian in this place, could you just quickly close your eyes? And if you're not, I want to invite you to become a Christian right now in this moment. Today, that you could raise a hand and choose Jesus and say, yep, I want Jesus. You know you need Him. You've experienced Him today. Maybe even right now, your heart's starting to race. Can I encourage you? In a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up to say that you want to choose Jesus, declaring that you want Him. And I can tell you this, the greatest decision you will ever make, and He wants you. He desires you. The best version of your life is only possible with Jesus inside of it. And so this morning, would you raise your hand right now, if that's you, that you know you need Jesus and you want to welcome Him in to your life. Thank you over here. I see your hand. Come on, that's so awesome. You can put it down. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Come on, I encourage you. Be bold, be brave. Yep, up the back. That's awesome. Thank you so much. So good. Two people. Come on, is there anyone else? And you want to do this today? Come on, He loves you. He is for you. He has the best in store for you. Well, come on, church, that's two people. Can we pray to encourage them? And if you put your hand up, would you pray this from the bottom of your heart and just repeat this prayer after me? And come on, church, let's encourage them. Dear Jesus, today I choose You, and I choose You forevermore. Today I give You my life. Come and make it the best that it can be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate them? Amen.